News, views and food for the soul. That's what we do right here on Radio Islam International on the Daily Roundup. Well, time for us to focus on matters coming out of the Arab world, Tunisia in particular. Now, Tunisia's president has suspended a parliament and dismissed Prime Minister Hisham Mishishi in a move condemned as an attack on democracy by his rivals. But it seems that others have greeted, this particular move with celebrations on the streets. Now, President Kais Saied said on Sunday he would assume executive authority with the assistance of a new prime minister after violent protests broke out in several Tunisian cities over the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and, of course, the economy. Joining us is Rabeb Alawi, a radio host, journalist and environmental activist, joining us live from Tunisia. Assalamu alaikum, masa al khair.
Masa al khair. Thank you for having me. It's glad to be with you.
Tell us, international media is reporting a coup attempt in Tunisia. Is this exactly what's happening, or is this some sort of a political reshuffle?
Well, until now, nothing is really clear. So if we see the decision made by the President Kais Saied yesterday, he only enacted the Chapter 80 of the Constitution, which is legal to do so. But at the same time, the measures he took for example, in this Article 80, he must cooperate with the President of the Parliament and the Chief of the government, but he didn't do that. So it's a little bit confusing. We can't describe it as a coup, but at the same time, we can't describe it as a political change. At this time, nothing is really clear. Even the political parties and the street is divided between people who supported Kais Saied, the president's decisions, and on the other hand, people who are against this decision, who called this decision as a beginning of a dictatorship. So even the street, the political parties are divided. So we can't describe in one word what happened exactly, because until today, until now, we don't know what will happen. We are still waiting for a speech from the President of the Republic, whether he will announce extraordinary measures, whether he will appoint a new minister, or will he call for early election. Nothing is clear, but mostly he will first of all appoint a new prime minister. So until that, we still a little bit confused today in Tunisia.
Was this particular political move by the president seen as a surprise, or was the working relationship between both of them and of course other players within Tunisia's political circle, was it always deteriorating? Was there always cracks and issues showing, or did it come as a surprise to everybody in media that how quickly it happened?
Well, it is not a surprise. Tunisia is living under a political crisis since months ago. I mean, for me, it's not a surprise, because the relation between the President of the Republic, the Chief of Government, and on the other hand, the President of Parliament was so sensitive, so critical. So it wasn't a surprise, but at the same time, maybe the timing of this announcement. I mean, yesterday it was the Republic Day. People in many cities in Tunisia rallied in many streets. So we used to wait for a speech from President Kais Saied months ago, but he did not. But he chose this day, on the Republic Day, to do this announcement. So for me, it's not a surprise. It was maybe a surprise for the leading parties in the parliament, who were shocked, who refused this decision. But if we follow the speeches of the President Kais Saied since last September, exactly when the Chief of Government announced a new cabinet reshuffle, we can, let's say, we can imagine that he will take another step, a new step to fall off the government. He was all the time in tension. His relation with the chief of government, it was deteriorating. So for me, it wasn't a surprise, really.
You know, Rameb, it seems that Tunisia, of course, that Tunisia played a pivotal role in the Arab Spring, which we can recall, you know, years back, close now, it's approaching its 8th, 9th, 10th anniversary. And many claim and state that, you know, it started from there. Initially, it was one of those countries that showed success in being able to get rid of a long-time standing, you know, dictator and ruler and his family, and putting a new type of representational government. But how has that fared? I mean, if you look in the background, many of the people who are the youngsters who are in Tunisia today were much more young at that time. I mean, they couldn't even vote. But has it played for the positivity of the country that we have made a step in the right direction?
Well, I can understand the reaction of this young generation. They are frustrated and disappointed for all these decades. They were waiting for change. They were waiting for their dreams to be fulfilled, but they were so much disappointed and angry. So I can really understand this young generation who really wants to change, who demands political and economic reforms, but nothing is done during this year. So I think the mentality of Tunisians changed from the last decade till today, or even from the last 20 years till today. Maybe the older generation under the regime of Ben Ali 20 years ago, or Bourguiba 50 years ago, they were a little bit afraid to speak out. But now, with this, even this young generation, they are more, let's say, courageous. They know what they want, and they want to change. So for me, this is not, I mean, a new thing or a surprise. I mean, I can understand their demands, because really, in some regions, they are really suffering from poverty, from inequality, from unemployment. So if you talk with 14 or 15 years ago girl or boy, you will say that the future is blurry. I mean, They are, even in a young age, they are disappointed and frustrated, because they already saw their brothers or their fathers without job. So I think even with this young age, they understand what is happening, and they are calling for real change.
Finally, Rameb, I mean, what now for Tunisia? What needs to change, especially from an economic and a political point of view, that's expected in the next, the next few months?
So for the political scene, I expected an early election, because really we can't continue with this tension between the parliament and the president of the republic. So an early election would be a solution. For the economy, I think we need really economic reforms. We need to change the laws. We need to help this young generation to put, I mean, I don't know, for example, project to facilitate the economic laws, because we are suffering from really hard economic laws. So I think we really today need these economic reforms. For the social demands, we need inequality, especially between the regions, because until today, in 2021, we are really suffering from inequality between regions. Here in Tunisia, we have poor regions and rich regions. I mean, for the opportunities, even for the quality of life, we have this huge difference between regions. So we really need this equality and this justice between regions.
Finally, Rabeb, I mean, you know, migration across the Mediterranean has been a major focus for many North African countries. Now, granted, Libya, which is, of course, is still very much so in a state of war, and Morocco in particular, because of abject poverty, has seen over the last few years many migrants attempting to cross the treacherous waters of the Mediterranean, trying to make it to France or Italy or somewhere else. Has Tunisia seen this problem of many youngsters very desperate to, you know, leave the country and to settle elsewhere, even though it may be, you know, a state of being illegal in some part of Europe, but I need to leave and there's no way out?
Well, illegal immigration was always a hard task for Tunisian government. We really suffered from this problem years ago, and especially this year, despite the pandemic and this curfew, young people took the boat and immigrated illegally without documents. And about 30,000 Tunisians, immigrated illegally during just 2020. So you can imagine this huge number, despite this health crisis and this curfew, they choose to put their life in danger just to change their faith and their future. So that's why I told you I can understand this disappointment and this anger when we just see this huge number of illegal immigration. And also we witnessed that not only the number of illegal immigrants has increased, but also the gender. Years ago, in the 90s, we saw that mostly men and young men immigrate legally. But for example, in this last 2 years, we witnessed that the number of the women and even the family immigrating illegally has increased. So people, not only men, not only young people, but also a huge family choose to risk their lives just to go to Europe, especially to Italy. So here we can understand that we are really suffering from a real problem. The legal immigration was always a problem, and it become a real problem, especially at this time with this economic and health crisis.
Rabeb Alawi, shukran, and thank you so much, Jazakallah Khairan, for joining us on Radio Islam International out of Tunisia this evening, and have yourself a good rest of your week.
Thank you and shukran.